Hello, this is Daryl here, sending love as always. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say, if you like this interview, you can check our website for companion workbooks, action guides, tools, checklists, templates, and show notes with links for everything mentioned on the call. Just visit bestbusinesscoach.ca. That's best, B-E-S-T, businesscoach.ca. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Daryl Urbanski, and welcome to the Best Business Podcast. My mission is to help create 200 new multimillionaire business owners. How? You'll do better when you know better. In my interviews, you'll hear from self-made millionaires, seven-figure business owners, authors, and world-class experts sharing how they did it so you can too, without experiencing the same obstacles they did. Now, if you like this interview, please share it with a friend you think will benefit. They'll appreciate it, and I will as well. You can also connect with me on social media. Look for Daryl Urbanski, D-A-R-Y-L, Urban Ski, U-R-B-A-N-S-K-I, and add me so we can be friends. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy what I've prepared for you right here, right now. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by a friend, mentor, and repeat guest on our show, Tyler Garnes. And Tyler is the original Infusionsoft ninja and now is founder of Box Out Marketing. He's an internationally known marketing automation and lead generation expert. While he was director slash VP of marketing at Infusionsoft, he led the charge to grow marketing leads from 300 per month to 25,000 per month. Let me say that again in case you missed it. From 300 leads per month to 25,000 leads per month. Since then, his team at Box Out Marketing has been one of the leading Infusionsoft consulting, implementation, and training teams worldwide, helping thousands of businesses grow and automate their sales and marketing strategies to drive results in their businesses. Tyler has also been highly sought after by some of the biggest names in the marketing industry, including Frank Kern, Perry Marshall, Sean Greeley, and many more. He also regularly can be seen speaking on stage at marketing events around the world. When he's not leading strategy or a team, you can find him out surfing the local break with his three boys, Spencer, Caden, Ashton, or at home with his wife, Jill, and daughter, Alia. I've asked him to join us here today so we can all execute on our marketing strategies a little bit better. Tyler, it's an honor and a pleasure every time we talk. Thank you for joining us today, my friend. How are you?
Doing great, and thanks so much, Daryl. Really appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of positive feedback every time we talk. And as I said before, you know, I've known you for years. I've been following you. I've always impressed every time I see what you're up to. So it's an honor and a pleasure. Now, but for the people that are listening, they may not have heard the other interview, which they maybe want to check out after this call. But how did you get started? Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs? Like, did your parents teach you how to be a business owner? Like, how did you even get started as in this crazy circus?
That's a really, in terms of my family, my dad always had his own business. He was a commercial photographer forever, the whole time I was growing up, just retired a couple years ago. But I wouldn't say he ever really taught us how to be an entrepreneur. He would have known what to teach us. What he did teach us, which I attribute, you know, so much of my success to, is hard work. A couple things, like hard work, initiative, and being the idea person. Those are things he always talked about. So he would incentivize us when he'd give us a job to do that we might get paid for. He would say, hey, if you get this done, you know, I'll give you 10 bucks or whatever. But if you get it done in half the time and you do quality work, bucks. Like, he was always trying to help us understand that if we did it better and we did it faster, then that creates more value in the world. So that was super, super valuable growing up to kind of learn that. And then he was always teaching of initiative. You know, he wanted us to do stuff on our own, you know, without being asked, you know. And then he would always tell us, like, you want to be the idea person. So if you're the idea person, you know, he's like, there's plenty of people that can do the work, but you need to be the one coming up with the ideas. And I never really understood later in life, right? And later when I was in the workforce and realized that, hey, yeah, the ones who come up with the good or the right ideas are the ones who move things forward. You can always hire people to do the execution, you know? So those are there, but the entrepreneurship route has been interesting for me. I tell people often, like, I never aspired to be a business owner. I never aspired to be a CEO. You know, some people are kind of groomed to be a CEO from, like, their parents know that they want that for them. And, you know, it's been a hard thing for me. Like, when I decided to start this business, you know, I kind of floundered for a year or so, and you knew me and worked with us during that time a little bit. And I had a hard time this CEO role. And it was about 2 years ago when I finally said, all right, I need to become a CEO. And not just that I need to give myself the label, I had already done that, but I needed to become a CEO. I need to learn how to lead in the right ways, learn how to organize the business the right way and all that kind of stuff. And that's been a big transition for me, kind of moving away from being the idea guy and being an executor to now being a leader in a totally different way. So yeah, different path than some people. It was never anything that I really aspired to be. I just have ideas and goals and big dreams. Figured I'd get there, but then realized at one point that I had to take charge and lead the show here, you know?
Right. Yeah. That sometimes you gotta go to success. It's not going to come to you the way you want it. So what has been some of the skills that you felt like you've had to develop?
One thing about a year ago, I went to Infusionsoft's Elite Forum program. And Elite Forum is designed actually for that purpose. It's to help CEOs grow from, $1 million company to a company. So we had kind of recently passed the $1 million mark a couple years ago. And so I went to Elite Forum to kind of learn some of those CEO skills. And, they taught us a But the thing that impacted me the most personally was they said, as CEO, you need to be the speaker of the vision. And that just kind of made me pause and think about, hey, in my day-to-day interactions with the team, would anyone ever say he's the speaker of the vision? Is that what I'm doing? And I realized that I hadn't been. I had kind of created a vision. It wasn't as clear as it needed to be, but I wasn't often team towards the vision. And I wasn't often talking about and communicating about the vision and inspiring people towards the vision and getting clarity around the vision so people knew what they were working towards and all that kind of stuff. So that's been a really important part of what I learned. And then just a whole bunch of stuff down to like the minute administrative stuff, HR and all those hassles, that stuff, to hiring process. We've developed an amazing hiring absolutely I'm in love with that helps bring in people that are really perfectly aligned with our culture. So that's really important. And then everything from like systems and training and onboarding new team members and offboarding and administrative stuff. But really the most impactful, I think, is just learning to become the speaker of the vision.
And so that's leading other people. So is this kind of going back to what you're saying, almost like what your dad taught you about being the idea guy and then like leading with the vision to help the people that you've brought on board to execute, helping them execute and stay on task? Is that similar? Am I off at all? Is that?
Yeah, no, that's part of it. So I've always been, for most of my adult life, I've been in some type of leadership role. So leadership, takes on different forms. And I think as I always have done a fairly decent job of, making sure people feel valued and that they're, doing reviews and helping people see where they can improve and encouraging them and helping them to become better. And being the speaker of the vision is really about building a tribe of people that are all working towards the same thing. They're inspired by the goal and they're loyal to the purpose, right? So the vision, the way, and this is similar to the way a lot of experts talk about this topic, but there's really three components to it. There's the purpose, so why the company exists, the mission, what you're out to achieve, and then your core values. You are, right? And so those are the three things that comprise the vision. And so when you hire people that align with the core values, and then you inspire them because of the purpose, then they all rally to achieve the mission. And what the whole vision thing's all about.
Got it. Yeah, no, I think you've been fantastic as a leader. And I even remember when you were at when you just left Infusionsoft and you kind of had your little booth with the lounge to hang out in, I stopped by and hung out. And I remember, honestly, at some points you seemed so confident but vulnerable at the same time, like, because it was such a scary thing. It was so public, and where, like, everybody already kind of knew who you were. And, like, it's scary to venture out on your own, right, and to do your own thing. And for anybody that's listening to that, like, even you say, like, you weren't really aspiring to be a CEO or an entrepreneur, but you kind of led you there just with your own life path. and with the skill set you developed and wanting to have a bigger impact and help more people. And so I think it's just been fantastic that you've led there. And that's part of why I asked, because it seems like for yourself, you've obviously proven your skill set time and time again. I mean, even just what we talked about, leading a team to go from 300 to 25,000 leads, plus some of the other accomplishments you've had since then. So that's kind of why I was wondering, how is it different than, you know what I mean? Like, so it sounds like you're really focused on the team stuff now, like that building the people around you. And like you said, like having a culture, that like how to onboard people that match your culture and fit in. Is that accurate? Is that?
Yeah, all of that's so important, right? As a person, there's only so much I can do. But to go achieve the big goals that we have to have a team that, you know, number one, gets along. Number two, understands where we're headed. And number three, can execute. So much of the focus now is on, you know, those things, hiring the right people, getting them trained to be able to execute well. You know, you've been in this game a long time, so you know what it's like, you know, when you're trying to train on something that you've been doing for a decade or more. You know, I mean, I've been doing online marketing and sales in some fashion or another for almost 20 years. And, you know, when you try and get a new person, the things that, you know, it's a little tricky, right? It takes some time. And so much of it as well is like trying to deconstruct the things that are in my brain and turn it into processes, right? Because, you know, when you've done something for many, many years, you do it intuitively. You don't think about it. And so you have to break it down. Like, okay, if a new person was going to do this and they didn't know what I know, how would I teach them how to do it? And you have to break it down step by step. Okay, do this. Right result, right? So we're doing a lot of that. And what I do now, a lot of times is like, if we have a call with a client, I'll lead the call and I'll tell my team members, okay, you guys just listen, document what I do and turn it into a process. Mm. I engage the new team members in building their own processes. And because if I spend my own time doing it, for one, I probably won't do it right, because I have a hard time thinking about what's in my brain as processes. It's just intuitive, like I said, and don't have the time as the CEO and doing everything else. So I just have them listen to what I do and turn it into processes. And then we review that process the next time we do that thing, and we'll alter and tweak and update, you know, as we go. So, and then,
I love that. Now, do you have your three key metrics set up? That's something that I got from you. Do you still do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We do that. And we built an internal system for it. So we have like an internal website where people go every in their metrics, and it's tracked. And we look at it every Monday in our Monday meetings to review, you know, how's everyone doing on their performance.
That's awesome. Sure. That's so awesome. So now, are these a lot of the people that come to you for help and the people that you serve? Is this kind of the biggest challenges that they're facing too? Or what are some of the mistakes that you see that they're making?
Yeah, most of our clients aren't as far down the road as we are in terms of building a team and building a company. You know, we're 16 people doing multiple millions new, and most of our clients are probably doing between a couple hundred thousand in revenue annually up to a couple million. And so they're not typically focused as much on the team. Sometimes they are, obviously the bigger ones, the more mature companies come to us for marketing and sales help. They're trying to grow. We are an agency. We're essentially a marketing agency. We're focused on Infusionsoft. So we only serve companies that are using Infusionsoft or want to use Infusionsoft. And so we help, you know, developing their marketing strategy, developing the messaging and the positioning. We write all the copy. We build the campaigns, build the funnels, help them optimize those funnels, et cetera. Mm.
And now I just have a personal question with the copy part, because that's the only thing for me when I worked with clients, that's always been a bit of an issue, because you can bring a copywriter in, but oftentimes the owner's their own copywriter and nobody writes like they do. How do you handle that? How do you really encapsulate their voice, I guess?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. For some clients, we don't write their copy. If we encounter a situation like that where the CEO is a good writer or someone on their team is a good writer and they already and they know how to write persuasively and that kind of stuff, then we'll just help them, you know, dial in the strategy, and we'll do all the build out of the Infusionsoft landing pages, funnel stuff, whatever. But when we have a situation where we have a whole kind of proprietary process that we follow to dial that in. So the first thing is we have the client go and interview 20 or more of their past customers. And we have them break that up, a group of customers that they absolutely love working with that are highly profitable customers, and a group of customers that they don't ever want to see or talk to ever again. You know, the people who request refunds and complain and unprofitable customers. It's important to understand the distinction so that your marketing attracts the right ones and deters the wrong customers. So we have them interview them. We have a proprietary set of questions that we have them ask. That all guides the messaging and the positioning. And then when we write copy for these clients, we will write a draft and then review it with them. And we'll have them give us feedback on kind of the voice and various different things, and we'll match it. If they've written anything in the past, blog posts or their own website or emails or whatever, our writers will review that stuff, and they can do a pretty good job at matching the tone of the client.
Got it. Excellent. That's awesome. So you're saying most of them, they've got small teams, they're like 100K to 1 million, and they're coming to you for sales and marketing help to grow. What are some of the biggest mistakes that they're making? Like, what's some of the best advice you think, if anyone here is listening and they feel that kind of identifies them, like what are kind of the three pillars or something they should focus on?
So that's a tough question to answer, because the biggest mistakes they're making, all of them. It's just as small business owners, we are experts in our field. We're not necessarily experts at marketing and sales, right? And so, you know, it is a bit of a trial and error process. Business owners get going and they try things and it doesn't work, and they try other things and it might work a little bit, and then they try other things. So I don't say that to demean our clients at all. I mean it to say that it's that process of trial and error and figuring things out. So they have often made lots of, but the things that we continue to see, number one, not nurturing the list well. So you're building a list of, you know, prospects and customers and whatnot, and if you're not communicating to them often, then do communicate to them, they're not expecting it, and you know, they mark your emails as spam or whatever. You know, just when it comes out of the blue, it doesn't work well. So you need to have that constant communication. Second thing is not building a relationship. If it's all like salesy stuff, buy this, then there's no relationship there. So you have to do some relationship building. And the third thing I'd say is not making it personal. Part of the relationship stuff, but beyond that, making sure that your communications are personal and relevant to each person. And we can talk about that more in just a minute. I want to dive into that a little more deeply if we have time. And then the fourth thing I'd say is not automating it. Like if they're trying to grow, you know, there's just no way you can keep up with everything. So you've got to figure out ways to automate.
So now I didn't hear anything about actually doing the sales piece, like asking for the order or anything like that. So where does that fit in?
Yeah, good question. Our clients usually don't have too much problem with that. You know, they're trying to grow, so they're, you know, actively
just trying to build the list,
trying to sell. Yeah, and so, but sometimes, you know, their conversion process is, so they might be doing a good job building a list, but then they're not converting them into sales. And so, if it's an online sale, we'll work on the right kind of funnel. If they're selling with a sales team, we'll help them build sales processes and sales pipeline management within Infusionsoft, so they the leads know exactly what's going on. We'll help them identify what the stages are and how to move people through a sales process and things like that. We don't necessarily teach sales techniques. That's not our expertise, but at least managing the process and making sure that no one's you're following up with everybody and that kind of stuff is something that
right,
we do.
Right. Fair enough. Well, I love that. So you said you wanted to dive in a little bit more. What did you want to expand on when it came to making it personal?
So here's where we're having a lot of success. In an area where most people screw it up. And the idea is that you get something like Infusionsoft or MailChimp or Constant Contact or, you know, whatever other system you're using to communicate with your audience for some automation. And so then people automate in bulk. And what happens is you just send generic messages to your whole list. It's not personalized. And so then us all to just ignore what comes in the inbox, and we just delete, or we set up filters and we filter it all, you know, into a spam folder or whatever. And so what we're like hyper focused on right now is what we call ultra personalization. And so, you know, if we build a funnel for you, each person that opts into that funnel should have a different experience because they're different. But it's automated. And what we find is that you can put on a lot of different factors, right? You can segment them on who they are. You can ask them questions like, hey, what's your biggest challenge? You can segment them on that. And those things are all good. But what's most effective is segmenting on their behavior. You can talk to them very quickly based on their behavior, and their behavior will indicate their interest more than anything else, more than what they say. So what they do is actually a better indicator of their interest. So if they click on a link form, if they visit a web page, if they do this, if they do that, if they read a text message, you know, all these different types of things, we can trigger follow-up based on that. And then you just want to personalize that follow-up as much as possible. So we're integrating a lot of SMS as well. So like you can send someone a text message that includes a photo, and you might merge in their name into that photo in some way to make it personalized for them. And so they get this, you know, for one, very personalized SMS, but then they get a photo with their own name in it, you know, and you can come up with creative ways to do that, you know, hold up a little sign and merge their name into it. Hey, I was just thinking about you, Daryl, you know, and it's like handwritten. So it looks like you just wrote up that sign and sent it to them. Various different things like that to really create engagement and make it personal, but always based on their behaviors. So it's relevant to them. They know, oh, I just did this and then I got this response. So, I mean, to them, it appears like you're just doing them instead of it being automated.
Love that. Now, it's kind of a sidebar question, but what are you automating around your house?
Around my house? That's a good question. I don't spend as much time at my house as I should. Jill and the kids are at home and I'm at work.
Yeah, I just remember you used to always ask, like, every time you did something at home, you're like, how do I automate this? And just, you've always walked a great line between understanding technology and programming at least enough to get things done, and then obviously marketing. And so it's just like you said just now, like, I know there's people that are just probably their minds blown. They're like, what, merging a name? And like, I know how to personalize emails and postcards and all that sort of stuff, but an image for a text, like, anyway, so that's why I had to ask. I'm like, what are you automating at home?
Yeah. I'm not automating much at home right now.
Okay. You need to put your wife on a drip campaign, get some flowers going.
I've done that before. I think we've talked about that where, like, I was going to be gone for our anniversary. I automated like this whole scavenger hunt thing throughout the house, but it was like driven by email. So it's like she opened an email. She got an email that morning and said, hey, go do this. And then when she did it, there was like a clue and she had to type that into a web form and it triggered another message. So I've certainly done that. You can use Infusionsoft for just about anything.
Right? That's so funny. That's awesome.
Put an automated flower delivery drip system in place, though. Like once a month, just deliver flowers. That would be
amazing. You know what? It's so funny, Tyler, because I haven't thought about it maybe the last year and a half, but I would say probably for 6 years or more, in the back of my head, I'm like, if someone just did like a dating service for guys, like tell us your girlfriend's name, tell us your anniversary, like that sort of thing, you know, like – and you had the flowers, the, you know, the name merge, the little poem, the card, like that. Like you could charge a lot of money per month for that sort of service and advertise it Maxim and Men's Magazine. You would just clean up. So, and all it would be is just like one to three, you know, sequences, right, with some personalization. Just anyway, so.
Yeah, there are companies out there that do that. We've actually worked with a client or two helping them set up that kind of thing.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, there must be money in it. So, anyways. Now, yeah, what are some of the habits that you see some of your most successful clients using or having as owners and just even with helping you do your job better?
Yeah, so one thing I'd say, you know, again, we work with companies that want to grow, right? So I'm going to focus on that aspect of it. But one thing is, they realize at one point that in order to continue to grow, they have to figure out advertising. And in doing so, they dedicate a budget and they're committed to that budget every single month, even if it's not working out. So they might say, all right, we're going to spend $1,000, whatever the amount is, on marketing and advertising every single month. And we're going to do that every single month until we figure it out. And then when we figure it out, we'll start ramping up the spend. But I see people all the time who like, oh, I tried a Facebook ad. It didn't work. Uh-huh. Facebook doesn't work for me. It might work for everybody else. It doesn't work for me. Well, you didn't spend enough time and energy figuring it out. Like I said, it's a bit of a trial and error process. And so those that just dedicate the time, energy, and money every single month until they figure it out and they say, hey, every single month, then those are the ones that will end up being successful. But if you're just like, oh, I'm going to try this out and see if it works, it's not likely going to work the first time. And if that's all you're going to put into it, then you is for growth. Goodbye. Like, you have to be committed to the growth, and you have to be committed to investing in that growth until you figure it out. So I always tell people, look, what's the amount that you can handle? And you got to be able to handle losing it every single month for that amount. If it's only $500, then fine, whatever it is. We have to start dedicating that money and that time and energy to figuring this out. If not, then you'll never figure
and
it out.
And you're definitely preaching to the choir, but can you explain why? Like, why? Why not focus on like a really powerful referral campaign, or why not like some sort of viral share thing, or why not some content? Like, why is paid ad spend such an important part of growth for a company?
It's a really good question. 99% of the companies out there will stop growing at some point without advertising. Every once in a while, there's some like just interesting, creative, idea that does kind of grow virally, right? But those are so rare that it's not worth trying to figure out how to create that. That it kind of happens by accident. So most businesses, what happens is the business owner themselves is the originator of the message, right? So they talk to their friends, their friends talk to their friends, et cetera. So if you try to like do it organically, what happens is most business owners aren't great at creating a really, really strong, compelling message. And so the message dies after a couple of generations, right? I tell you, you tell your friend, your friend tells another person, and the game telephone, right? The message gets changed. It gets changed over time. And if it wasn't super, super strong to begin with, then it dies. And so whether it's a referral program or whether it's just your own kind of organic market and things like that, then it will eventually plateau. You can certainly grow, and most companies will start growing and grow very well in the early phases through, organic, guerrilla style marketing and things like that. And those are great things. But eventually your business will plateau. And to be on that plateau, you have to dial in a really strong message, and you have to learn to advertise and get a positive return on your investment.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, because I beat that drum all the time on this show, because word of mouth is great, but you can't just flip a switch and go, we want 300 new customers. Let's go buy them tomorrow. Affiliate marketing is great. You can, I've seen some major big business, like million-dollar businesses pop up seemingly overnight with a really good JV launch. But people can't promote you all year, every month, every quarter of every year. So it's like, peaks and valleys. And like you say, like, content marketing is great. SEO is great, but a change in the algorithm, all of a sudden, you went from the top to the bottom. So, but paid media, when you know what you can afford to spend to buy a customer, and you've got like a toolbox of ads and offers and hooks that generate, eyeballs into leads and sales. I mean, it's like having a tackle box, and you can just go fishing anytime you want. And as long as you can pay to go to the pond. I mean, that's kind of what it is. You're paying, it's almost like an entrance fee. Like, if you're a gambler, if you like want to pay, you got to pay to sit at the table. You got to pay to get your offer into the Facebook's inventory for those spots on the side or wherever you're advertising. So that's fantastic. Okay. Yeah, that's great. I think we've really hit a ton of great stuff. I hope people are writing things down on this, because we've covered some fantastic things. You may want to re-listen to this interview, or even check out the first interview we did with Tyler. So now, what do you feel is kind of the future of where things are going? Where is all this headed, Tyler?
Yeah, it's headed in a bunch of different directions. Email as a medium is declining in effectiveness, mainly just because so many people are automating in bulk. Like, so it just fills our inboxes and it's not relevant stuff. And so utilizing SMS, utilizing Facebook Messenger, Messenger bots and things like that. And those things will eventually go as well. And so the key is to always understand what's the most relevant medium to communicate to your clients with, and always being able to adapt. The communication shouldn't really change, right? The actual the techniques you use for, you know, for communicating, for persuading, you know, all that kind of stuff, as long as you're staying very personalized and relevant, then that's what matters. But you got to get it to them in the right way. So, you know, situations where direct mail is becoming really relevant again, partly because so many people are not doing it anymore, that it actually makes you stick out. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of staying on top of what is the most relevant medium, and figuring out to do the personalized automation with those mediums.
Right. And so it's not so much something you deciding what you feel is like the new shiny, like, oh, I want to get on with a chat bot, or I want to do that. It's what your customers, right? It's what they dictate. What do they respond to? It's a fantastic
point. For sure. Yeah. About, you know, where are they? If all your customers on Facebook, great, stay on Facebook. If they're somewhere else, then you got to go find out where they're at and communicate to them there.
Now, if someone's below the $100,000 mark, if someone listed, because you said that a lot of your clients are between 100,000 to a million. Someone's below that. Do you recommend that they start with paid media? Is that the best traffic strategy you would recommend to someone that might be starting out or struggling?
It all depends on the business model, right? If you're doing $100,000 and you're just one person, then there's probably some extra money to focus on some advertising. If not, when you're doing $100,000, you're probably really struggling. So I'd be looking at partnership opportunities, you know, some organic ways to grow, content marketing, referral programs, you know, all those without an initial upfront cost.
Right. But the goal would be to get something going with paid media, like you said, that you can commit to developing. Because something, I mean, this is Claude Hopkins, scientific advertising, right? You know, treat your ads budget like you would a sales rep. You wouldn't, if you had to hire a sales rep, you know, you wouldn't expect them to go out and be able to hit it out of the park as well as someone that's already been selling it for a period of time, that there would be a learning curve or there would be some sort of investment in them before you have to decide that as well. So it sounds like even you say, like, just dedicate to this, you know, we, and I mean, this is a metaphor, but we have a, you know, an opening for a sales rep, right? Someone that's going to go out, knock on doors and bring in leads and sales. And that's whether it's Facebook or AdWords or, you know, you're paying for spots in the newspaper, wherever your market is at, but dedicating a budget to that every month. And whether the person you've hired or the ad you've chosen or the channel you're spending that money on is working or not, you know, you're going to give a fair chance, but then you might kill it. So you're not necessarily saying, hey, just spend that money every month and lose it, but you know, try new things, but you're basically dedicating to hire for that position. You're dedicating to get that up and running somehow. And if Facebook doesn't work, then try something else. And if that doesn't work, then try something else. But be realistic in that it's going to take some time, like any new sales rep, to figure something out, and that you need that role filled eventually at some point if you're committed to growth. Is that a fair statement? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you know, that money, it's about, I mean, you brought up scientific advertising, but it's about scientifically testing every single month, and figuring out what works, right? And you have to go at that with a scientific approach. Like, hey, we're going to this is going to see what works better, and then, you know, whichever one works better, you take that, and now you try a different variation. And it might be a different medium, it might be a different ad, it might be tweaking words, who knows? But you just got to keep trying. But someone that effort. You know, it's not something that you can just, like, you know, flip a switch and automatically results come in. Someone needs to be dedicated to that effort. Like when I was doing that at Infusionsoft, you know, you mentioned growing from 300 leads a month to 25,000 leads was really just a daily effort. Trying something new, testing it, getting the results, and then tweaking the next day. Like every single day, looking at those numbers and moving the needle forward a little bit and making sure you're getting a positive ROI on. So if you're spending $500 a month, you might lose it a few months, but if you can get to a point where you spend $500 and you make $600, great. Can I make $500 or can I spend $500 and make $700? And it's just every time trying to increase the ROI of, but you have to take a scientific approach to it.
That's fantastic. So now what do you feel is the best advice you ever got?
Wow. That's a broad question. As a CEO,
in your business career, like if you had to tell your kids, if you had to tell your sons and your daughter, if you had to tell your kids, like, something about that, you know, like your dad had some things that you told, like, you know, like, be the idea guy, yeah. You can hire that out. What would you want to tell your kids? If you had to tell your kids, like, a message right now, what do you think would be the best advice you could give them to help them be successful in steering their own ship in terms of, you know, directing themselves and their income earning ability and that?
Sure. Yeah, a couple of things. One, focus on and learn leadership. So like I'm reading a series of leadership now. You know, I think there are just skills and things that no matter what you do, you need to learn to be a leader, right? You just have to. Another thing my dad taught us was, you know, and he's a photographer, but he taught us this. He said, you know, no matter what you do, you need to learn how to sell. And I always thought that was interesting because he's a photographer. But then he explained, you know, whether you're an employee and you need to sell your ideas to your team, or you're a photographer, sell your work to your clients, or you're a, you know, CEO and you got to sell your business to your potential customers, you know, you got to learn how to sell. So that's definitely, you know, one piece of advice: learn to sell, learn leadership. And it's going to be harder than you expect, but don't worry, you know, just keep moving forward. You know, we always think that like the idea in our mind might be so crystal clear and we're like, oh, this is going to be great. Into it, and it's hard. It just is. But that's okay. That's what it's all about. And that's also what allows you to be successful, because a lot of people will give up when it gets hard. So if you just keep plugging forward, there's a real good chance you're going to have the success you're looking for. It's just going to
That's fantastic advice. That's fabulous advice. Again, I hope people have been writing this down. If not, you may want to re-listen to this interview. Now, Tyler, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now, what you're excited about, some of the stuff that you've got going on that's really getting you and your team jazzed. You talked about the vision. What is the vision right now?
Yeah, so our purpose is to succeed, right? We're all about helping people get the value out of Infusionsoft. I mentioned that we're and I call us an Infusionsoft agency. So we're a marketing agency focused on Infusionsoft specifically. And so that's what we're all about as a purpose. That's why we exist, is to help, you know, Infusionsoft users grow their companies and you know, get to where they want to go. The way we've actually is we say we take small business marketing automation results to the masses. So for us, it has to be about results. You know, there's a lot of people who will do Infusionsoft work for you, but they may not be the strategist. They may not be really helping you optimize. And so. So we take small business marketing automation results to the masses. Infusionsoft has been a tool for small business owners, but not really for the masses. The price point, you know, isn't exactly for the masses. And a lot of people get into it and don't get the value out of it, leverage it. And so this idea of taking it to the masses is, hey, look, we know how to leverage this thing. Let's take it to everybody. Let's help all small business owners get the value out of Infusionsoft, because it's absolutely amazing. So that's why we exist. Our mission right now is to help 10,000 results from marketing automation. So it's you know, putting specifics on that. We want to go help 10,000 small businesses do this. So we're at about 650 right now. So we're getting close to our 10% mark. But that's, you know, a 2 to 3. So we've got, you know, some time to keep building on that. So that's our purpose and our mission. The way we've been doing that is as an agency. So basically done for you services, you know, one-on-one working with clients, building funnels. The process of launching some other ways that we help people as well. We recently launched our Infusionsoft Success Lab. The Success Lab is a membership site with courses to train you on Infusionsoft. That is master Infusionsoft in 10 minutes a day. So we've broken everything down into, you know, 10 minutes or less, bite-sized increments that you can just kind of jam through, learn what you need to learn. They have each of the courses have assessment test at the end to make sure you've learned what you need to learn, and then you get a certification if you pass the test. So then you know, all right, I've actually learned this stuff, I've learned it well, and I can move on to the next course. So it's a full detailed training system in Soft, and we've developed in the process something that we call the Way. So Infusionsoft is a super, super powerful tool. It's amazing. One of the things that makes it so amazing is that you can bend it to your will, right? You can flex that thing and make it do whatever. But that is the exact problem that, is the exact feature or situation that causes problems for new Infusionsoft customers, because they get in there and they're totally
and they
confused.
Don't even know what to do. Like, yeah, they don't know what to do, how to bend it. Yeah.
And so we've created a system of rules and organizational structure that when you learn it, and it doesn't take long to learn it, but once you learn it, you get into Infusionsoft, it all makes sense, because you're like, oh, I just follow these rules, I follow these steps. everything comes together in a beautiful way. And so the Success Lab teaches the way. And so the other thing is it creates a standard for how to implement Infusionsoft. So if you learned the way, Daryl, and you built a campaign, I don't care what it was about, but you built any kind of think up, any one of my team members or really anyone in the Success Lab who's learned it could open up that campaign and know exactly how it operates and exactly how it works, because everything's consistent in when you use the way. So that's one of the things that I'm really pushing forward on our community is trying to establish some standards, because it can be very, very confusing to open up a campaign and try to understand what it does if it's not built in a specific way. And so the way is really, really important in forward with all of this. It's something that we've been using and implementing with internally for the last couple of years, but now we're sharing it with the world and teaching it in a systematic way. So in the Success Lab, we also do a lot of with our members. So every week we have a workshop. 1 week it'll be training on a specific topic, and then the next week is open office hours. So you can get on there, ask questions. I help you. We might open up your Infusionsoft account, dig in, build campaigns for you, all that kind of stuff. It happens in a group setting, you know, like on a webinar, but that's one way that people get a lot of value out of being members of the Success Lab. They get that hands-on help at a fraction of the cost, you know, if you were just paying one-on-one.
Yeah, helping Infusionsoft isn't cheap. So that's awesome. So now, if anyone's interested in that, where do they go to get in touch with you or to find out more about the Success Lab or any of your other services?
Yeah, so for the Success Lab, just go to successlab.boxoutmarketing.com. The easiest URL to remember, but pretty straightforward. successlab.boxoutmarketing.com, and you can get all the information about it there. And if you want to find out about our services, you know, as an agency, if you're interested in hiring.marketing.com, and just click on request a consultation.
That's awesome. So Box Out Marketing is what we're saying. So BOXOUT marketing.com. I've known Tyler, I don't even know how many years now. It's probably getting close to 10 somewhere. I know I've been using Infusionsoft around 9. I mean, I've seen you through so many different phases of your life and my life, Tyler. I mean, I have to give you nothing but the highest recommendation in terms of professionalism, standards of quality of work, results you've been able to get. If anyone's been listening to this and they really are vibing with anything we've been saying, they're looking for some help or they're looking to, you know, figure things out or get some guidance along the way, whether you want to do it yourself, you want someone to do it with you, or you want someone to just do it for you, I think Box Out Marketing and Tyler here could probably give you a hand. And I just, I have nothing but the greatest confidence in Tyler. He's like my go-to guy for so much stuff, and it's always an honor to be able to share mind space with him on a call. And so if anyone here is listening to this, I highly recommend you check out successlab.boxoutmarketing.com, or just look him up on social media. I'm sure you can find him there as well. Tyler, is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have asked you?
No, I think we covered a bunch. One thing is, if you're not using Infusionsoft and you're interested to find out, hey, what is this all about and what can it do for my business, you know, hit us up on our website as well. Just go to boxoutmarketing.com, hit, you know, request a consultation, and we can talk to you about what can do for you in your business. You know, it can be really, really powerful in terms of saving you time and money, as well as just generating more leads and sales. So if you're not an Infusionsoft user, we could give you some information about it. We can help you sign that you're interested in doing. And then, of course, we can help you get the most out of it through the Success Lab, or by just doing it with you or for you through our agency.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people get intimidated because you might see a piece of software and it might be $100 or $200 or $300, $400, $500. You know, and they look at the scaling options depending on how much you need it, and that scares them away. But you have to realize some of these tools, they're eliminating like 5 staff, 15 staff, 30 staff. Like, you know, I mean, Tyler's doing multiple millions with a small team of people, like less than 20 people. That's virtually unheard of, pre like the last 10 years. I mean, if you rewound the time clock, you know, 15 years, to do multiple millions with such a small team was really rare and unique. So, I mean, it's all through the power of automation, and that's almost a way to look at it as well, is you're not just paying for a piece of software or a tool, you're actually just, you know, you're leveraging, so one of the things I talk about with my clients is the rule of 10,000, you know, like, how would you handle 10,000 leads? How would you handle 10,000 sales? How would you handle 10,000 complaints? How would you, you know, like, that rule of 10,000 starts getting you thinking at scale. And if you thought about the number of people you would need to do that, to handle that amount, right? Like, it's just, it's mind-boggling. Yep. But a piece of software and some good automation in place, it sounds amazingly real and amazingly human and personalized and not robotic. But it is, it's software, and it's, you know, zeros and ones and clicks and stuff. And so, and it's the same experience for every person. So, Tyler, thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got 101 things to do and people to take care of, so I really appreciate you coming and sharing with my audience and I. Again, for anyone listening to this, you may want to listen to it again or go back and listen to one of the earlier interviews we did with Tyler because they're always valuable. So, Tyler, thank you so much for your time. I just appreciate you and think the world of you, and I wish you and your loved ones all the best.
Well, thank you, Daryl. Really appreciate being on the show. Always great to connect with you and catch up on things.
You've reached the end of our interview. Now, first, let me thank you for listening. I appreciate and respect you more than you'll ever know. And now I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First, what three lessons did you just learn? What three aha moments just jumped out at you? Second, what can you implement for yourself and your business in the next 24 hours? Third, what can you give to someone else to help you with or give them to just do it for you? Whatever it is, remember taking action is the secret sauce to results. Now, if you think this interview would be helpful for a friend, please give them a link to it. It'll help them and it'll help me too. I'd also like to invite you to help me find out more about the challenges you're facing, your dreams, your goals, and how I can help you overcome what's holding you back. We both do better when we know better, and your success is my success. So please reach out and interact. You can visit our website, bestbusinesscoach.ca for Canada or California, where I'm from and where I'm living. You're welcome to also try out one of our paid programs. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and pretty much every other social media channel you can think of. You should also subscribe to the podcast. And if you're enjoying them, please leave us a nice review. It really helps. That's all for now. Once again, thank you. Take care of yourself. And remember, the world needs the best business you can build. And I believe in you.